Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters. It is that time of the year and so much going on in the world of soccer. We're going to get you set up with a number of things here tonight. We appreciate you tuning into the show here tonight. MLS playoffs, college playoffs, leagues around the world are driving it out towards a winter break. And that little thing called the U.S.-Mexico this Friday from Columbus, Ohio. By the way, we're having a watch party. Join us down at King's Court, right near the stadium downtown. There's tremendous food in there, great cocktails, great beer selection. First 25 in will get a Soccer Matters mug. So join us down there. There's a lot of people already saying they're going to come down. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time with it. So ESPN 97.5, we're rolling in to the best in soccer talk self-proclaimed. Now, the MLS playoffs produced some stunning results this past weekend. We'll talk about it tonight. We'll also discuss the factors that can prove the edge for teams in what truly is a second season with the playoffs in Major League Soccer. Streaming at ESPN975.com, Twitter Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook Soccer Matters. Get over to GlennDavisSoccer.com. I remind you, as always, we're going to do some NCAA College Cup talk tonight. Unam Pumas, Cruz Azul coming in this weekend. More to talk about in that U.S.-Mexico prep. We're going to have Tom Marshall of ESPN FC on. And again, King's Court, watch party, Soccer Matters, and Edo on Friday. Join us at 6:30. Dynamo manager Wilmer Cabrera tonight. Going to take you in depth with Wilmer. Going to ask him some pretty compelling questions here about what the direction is in the future for the Houston Dynamo. What has to be done to this roster? What is the future of Kubo Torres? How is Wilmer going to set this team up? How will he and Matt Jordan, the general manager, work when it comes to player acquisition? Because this is huge. There's not going to be success without some turnover player-wise. The Dynamo needs some dominating, domineering difference makers on this team in probably all lines of the team. So that's one to keep an eye on here tonight. Rachel Kwan, who is heading up the local organizing committee for the NCAA Men's College Cup, is going to weigh in on the NCAA Men's College Cup that we are hosting here in Houston December 9th. The semifinals, December 9th. The final, December 11th. These are teams playing for a national championship. We don't know who the teams are now, obviously, because next week the playoffs will begin after the selection of the 64 teams. But four teams are going to end up in Houston. It's the NCAA Men's National Soccer Championship. Stanford's the defending champion. Remember last year, Jordan Morris and Stanford won it against Clemson, convincingly, in a very empty sporting park in Kansas City. Nothing was done to promote it. We have a grassroots group that's promoting it here. We think right now there's about 1,750 to 2,000 tickets out right now. We want to get that number up to 6,000, 8,000, and more, because think of this. For a minute, Houston, Texas supplies college players all over the country. So it starts in a very natural thread that provides commonality to our soccer community. We have youth players play in high school. So there's two groups right there that are always saying, we're going to help you get to the college level. So those two groups, youth coaches and high school coaches, should be 100% on board with this without anybody pushing them to get their kids down there. And if you're a parent of players in this town and your coaches aren't pushing you to get down to the NCAA Men's College Cup, it doesn't make sense. You want to see the highest level. You want those kids to go there in person. And when they're young, little kids too, by the way, their role models don't have to be Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. They might be a college soccer player during an NCAA College Cup weekend. Tickets are at ncaa.com. Get them. If you're a former college player, You have to support this. You're a part of the brethren. Be a part of it. This is a community thing. This is where we drop our own sort of vision of just what we do in the soccer community, and we think a little bit bigger here and inclusively. And we have an opportunity to make a big deal out of this because it is on ESPN. It is a national broadcast. And based on the last couple broadcasts with no attendance, if we put a good crowd in there and we make some noise down there, the whole country is going to take notice. And Lord knows, we need some reminders out there when it comes to college soccer and MLS that we can draw crowds here in Houston outside of Copa Americas and the big events. So, NCAA.com for your tickets. Rachel Kwan's going to talk about it. Very talented lady heading up the local organizing committee here in Houston. So I'm excited about that. San Jacinto College, this is incredibly disappointing. Their head coach is Ian Spooner. Believe it or not, I had him as a youth player when I was back in my coaching days. He was the coolest little kid because I played him off his line with his feet. I didn't mind he made mistakes. I sent him up on corners. He was a goalkeeper. Parents were from Trinidad and Tobago. He's the men's head soccer coach at San Jacinto. They're headed to the Junior College National Championships. Earlier this week, guess what? The soccer program and other athletic programs, including men's and women's basketball, women's volleyball, they've all been unanimously voted to be discontinued. 9-0 was the vote. Obviously, that was all set up before it was done. It's a sad moment for soccer, though. It's a sad moment for those other sports as well. Because San Jacinto College has produced athletes for many, many other levels. San Jacinto College has put players in the pros. Dane Richards played there. Former coaches Ben Hunter, Dave Santisteban, all were a part of history there, and they've had so much success over the years in these sports. It's just so tragic. And I would only say I don't think the whole story's been told. And if it is a financial thing, how did it financially get out of control? And who's accountable for that? Or is this strictly a case of a chancellor there or somebody heading up the school that's just really academically oriented? There's been talk of the gym needing refurbishing and things like that. But I think it's incredibly sad. Junior colleges were designed to give an affordable education to students. Junior colleges were designed to give affordable education to student athletes. So now it's just student now. It's not athletes. Sad. It's really sad. And there's so many great programs around the country when it comes to junior colleges, and junior college players have made it to Major League Soccer, to national teams, you name it. So that's a tough one for me. By the way, first hour here is brought to you by Bud Light. I speak as a host of Soccer Matters, speaking on behalf of my favorite political party, the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot, like puppy videos. Everybody likes puppy videos, three-day weekends, free parking, queso, and margaritas. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself Wednesday nights at 7 Central for the best in soccer talk. And in part by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. Car accidents, boat, motorcycle. You might work in a plant or a refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler, industrial. Daspit Law Firm will assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. All right, so we move on. Friday, we'll kick off the six-team final round of CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. It'll run through next October. The top three teams in CONCACAF will qualify for Russia. The team that ends up in fourth place goes into a playoff with the fifth-place Asian finisher. Six teams left. The U.S. want to get off to a good start against Mexico. This will take place Friday in Columbus, Ohio. It is a pretty youthful U.S. team that's going to really rely on the leadership of Tim Howard, Jermaine Jones, and Michael Bradley. It's a huge moment for the U.S. to set the tone early in the hex. They've got some incredible statistical numbers. They've never lost to Mexico there, thus 12-0. Home results, though, are critical. 15 points is about what you need based on past history, to get you to the World Cup. The U.S. has been to 10 World Cups. They've gone to 7 straight. Mexico has qualified for 6 straight. The big storyline for me out of the U.S. camp is Jeff Cameron not being available. Stoke City, former Dynamo. He's ruled out. This is a little troubling to me. Cameron, to me, is essential at the back these days for the United States because of his ability to provide, and listen carefully to me, cover laterally. Laterally. So when a DeAndre Yedlin or a Fabian Johnson goes forward and another team tries to hit the space that they vacated, Cameron comes out of the middle better than any center back for the U.S., including John Brooks and Omar Gonzalez, who I believe will be the two starters. So, in that case, it's a big loss. Now, you will say that Omar Gonzalez getting the start makes a lot of sense. Playing at Pachuca, playing well, plays against Mexican League competition, which stylistically will be very close to this Juan Carlos Osorio team. So, in theory, it should be a good switch. And it should work fine. Tim Howard given the starting nod already by Klinsmann. That's kind of a no-brainer. It's good he puts it out early. DeAndre Yedlin, Fabian Johnson again are my guests at outside back. And they're going to need them to get forward because they're going to need them to push Mexico back. They're going to need those guys to make Andreas Guardado, and if it's Herrera who starts out wide, whoever it is for Mexico, to defend. But if the U.S. can get a wide game going with Bedoya and Pulisic and those two outside backs in Yedlin and Johnson, I think it's going to be a good day for the U.S. But they got to win the wide game, and Mexico's got some very seasoned players out there as well. So Pulisic, Bedoya wide, Bradley, Jones, providing the shield for the back four, that becomes a little bit more important with no Cameron. One of those two, likely Jones, will try to join in the attack a little bit more. But those two veterans got to lead the way in the middle of the field. And then it's Sasha Kljestan probably as the attacking midfielder, and then Josie Altidore up front, who's in good MLS form right now for Toronto FC. So there you have it. Other storylines, for Chicharito, he's sitting on 45 goals. If he gets a goal, he'll tie Jared Borghetti for the most goals in team history. Reminder, though, Chicharito has only scored once against the U.S. in 5 matches. For the United States, it's 4 straight home qualifiers versus Mexico. They're unbeaten in the last 7. In their last 30 home qualifiers, listen to this, the United States are 28-0-2. 28-0-2. So Mexico looks at this as a huge opportunity and have some real pressure under Juan Carlos Osorio, their manager, because of that 7-0 thrashing to Chile in the Copa America. So the knives are already sharpened by the Mexican press, as always. They, for some reason, don't like Osorio. They don't think he's the man for the job. He will all of a sudden become the man for the job if they get a result in Columbus. So it's a huge opportunity for him personally. It's a huge opportunity for Mexico. The players are all in the Osorio camp based on the way they talk to the media. The United States are 8 wins, no losses, 3 draws in Columbus, Ohio. So Mapfre Stadium is the place the U.S. continue to take it back. The weather's a little colder up there. U.S. roster, 13 players plying their trade in Europe, 10 in Major League Soccer, 3 in Mexico. The Mexico roster, 13 in Europe, 11 in Mexico, 1 in MLS. We would expect Mexico to start Rafa Márquez. And there is real concern for the Mexican national team around the U.S. set-piece game with targets like John Brooks, Omar Gonzalez, Josie Altidore. Well, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be an interesting one. It's the United States-Mexico. We would love for you to join us down at what is a really cool spot to watch the game, and that is Kings Court, right down near the Dynamo Stadium, basically on the south side of the Dynamo Stadium. It's right across the street from where the players park, right on the corner, real open place. We're going to have a lot of people down there. First 25 are going to get Soccer Matters mugs, so we hope to see you down there. If you're not taking it in down there, then head over to the Gorgeous Gale, Bar Munich in Midtown, or the Richmond Arms. Those are other Soccer Matters pubs, all great spots. At the Gorgeous Gale, you get an Irish pub feel. That's 5555 Morningside. Stop by there for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings there. Say hello to Peter, my friend. A lot of monitors there. Outdoor patio. GorgeousGale.com. But if you want to be a part of the Soccer Matters watch party, the one that I'm going to go to, please join us. We'd love to have you down there. And we want to talk football down there, but also watch the United States and Mexico. All right, one more quick hit before we go to break here. Just to remind you about Liberty Kitchen and my great friends over there, including Carl Eves. You know what? I got to get Carl down to the soccer watching party. Liberty Kitchen knows how to serve it up. Lunch, supper, brunch, better than most. Think of it as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. Best burger, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. It's big flavor served in a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples. And trust me, I've tried all these. Deviled eggs topped with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo, oysters on the half shell, cowboy surfers, po' boys, the infamous burger bowl, along with the robust house-smoked meats, grilled chops and steaks, ribs and fish round out the menu. So all kinds of specials, especially weekday, signature cocktails and cold beer. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Stop by Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and soon to be open at the Treehouse in Memorial City. We will take a 7-Up break, and thank you, 7-Up, for supporting the Best in Soccer Talk. Back with more.
This is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Again, a reminder here, this Sunday, it is two very famous Liga MX teams. It's Cruz Azul and Unam Pumas here. The game is at 4 o'clock, BBVA Compass Stadium. Get your tickets at Taqueria Arandas, La Michoacana Meat Markets, also at the BBVA Compass Stadium box office, or at AXS.com. Again, it's Unam Pumas, Cruz Azul, November 13th, Sunday, 4 o'clock at BBVA Compass Stadium. So if you're itching to get some good quality football watching in, and it's Liga MX teams, and they've got followings here in Houston, get over to BBVA Compass Stadium. Again, 4 o'clock, Unam Pumas, Cruz Azul. Tickets, Taqueria Arandas, La Michoacana, AXS.com, and at the BBVA Compass Stadium box office. Also, reminder, don't forget to get down to Bar Munich. Get down one of the great soccer watching spots in Houston. Bar Munich, you get in there, say hello to Raymond, a wonderful open airy spot. Football fans, you're going to love it. Right in the heart of Midtown, it's Bar Munich on Louisiana. We're going to do a live event there the week of the NCAA College Cup in December on that Wednesday. BarMunich.com, 2616 Louisiana, Soccer Matters Pub. And by the way, do not forget, Friday night, meet us down at the King's Court. Soccer Matters watch party there at the King's Court. A lot of great food down there. Great selection of all kinds of beers. But it's U.S.-Mexico. And we're going to have a great time down there. First 25 are going to get a Soccer Matters mug. I'm going to try to convince he's going to be working, producer Tyler Scott. You going to be working that night? I think you're going to be working that night, right? Friday night you're working? Can't come to the watch party down there for U.S.-Mexico? Okay. King's Court, U.S.-Mexico watch party. It is Friday night. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Major League Soccer playoffs. Very, very interesting. It's, as we all know in Major League Soccer, it is a total reboot. You have to reboot your team for the playoffs. I don't think there's any question. It's all about a second season. Some may like it, some may not. It's what we have. It's what we will always have. So let's take it series by series now. I'm going to start with the LA Galaxy in Colorado. LA went into that with a 1-0 lead on aggregate. And that ended up being their downfall, not getting the second goal out in Los Angeles. The Rapids would ultimately advance on penalty kicks after a 1-1 aggregate. Now, before the season, many said the Galaxy and Bruce Arena might be overladen with aging stars. In the end, the jury's out, but so are they. Robbie Keane unhappy at the end of the season. He's out of contract. I don't think he's going to be back. The return of Landon Donovan was very interesting from Bruce Arena. You had Jassy Zardes injured all year long, which was a huge piece of this. And it all played a part in the L.A. postseason story. But my comment on the air last week was if Colorado ties this up and gets the first goal out there, it's going to be very difficult to advance past them, especially if this thing goes to penalty kicks with Tim Howard in goal against Brian Rowe of L.A. So in the end, it was Tim Howard, the Colorado Rapids. They advanced. They did get that much-needed first goal. It made them a favorite to advance. By the way, you saw that sick goal from Shelzen Gashi, and the movement in that was amazing. Now, at the end, Bruce Arena blamed the attitude, the altitude, which, yeah, I don't know. That's a lame excuse to me. You know you're dealing with altitude in the second leg. If you want to avoid altitude, then, you know, win the conference or score a second goal in the first leg. It's kind of lame. If that was such a large concern, then you have to figure out ways to avoid Colorado in the playoffs. In the end, it wasn't good enough. So Colorado's in the Western Conference final. Now I move on to who they're going to play in the Western Conference final. That's Seattle and FC Dallas. This was an interesting series before it started because of FC Dallas and the problems they've had with players, Mauro Diaz getting injured, Castillo going to Turkey. Seattle had that three-goal barrage at home at the Link in Seattle. They were not going to be denied. The story goes on, but let's not forget, Seattle was all about the addition of Nicolas Ladero, who, by the way, if he was here for the full season, you might be talking about him as the league MVP. Talented, fiery, excellent midfielder. The exact type of player the Houston Dynamo are going to try to get, and hopefully they can get. Yeah, and they're doing it without Clint Dempsey, by the way. So how about that from Seattle? So as much as they got the job done in leg one, this was a bit nervy for the Sounders in Dallas on Sunday. They conceded chances. They looked indecisive. This could have been a little bit more difficult. Didn't look like they know how to handle the three-goal lead, even knowing that FC Dallas was going to throw everything at them. But with the Sounders, with Ladero, anything's possible. His 1-2 punch with Jordan Morris as a vertical threat's impressive. FC Dallas had their treble dreams derailed, but that happened in the first leg. What a season it was for FC Dallas and Oscar Perea, though. Open Cup winners, Supporter Shield winners, and again, having to deal with the loss of two integral parts of their team in Castillo and Diaz. Dallas went out prideful at home, but the Ladero goal stuck the final dagger in, and the Dallas attitude, though, throughout that game says a lot about them and the future of that club. Lower budget than most in MLS, but the first leg collapse in the end was the killer for them. On to the Eastern Conference. I had the pleasure of calling the Montreal opening leg against the New York Red Bulls. And again, once again, 3-1 impact on aggregate. And look, Montreal was an up-and-down team in the regular season. The New York Red Bulls put the much better body of work together, and that's why the playoffs exist, because it's a second chance. It's a lifeline. And you got to credit the manager, Mauro Biello. He's not getting enough attention for what he did. Handling the Didier Drogba situation where he was put on the bench as a sub, he didn't accept it, all of a sudden had a back injury. He stood strong against Drogba. He didn't lose his players, and he didn't lose Drogba eventually either, and I'll tell you why. But he took a risk there. And he took a bigger risk at the end of the year. Against New England, he decided to rest all his veterans because he's got 9 starters that are 30 years plus. In the final game of the year at New England, they got smoked. He obviously told the team what he was doing. This turned out to be a masterstroke by Biello. Again, Mauro Biello is not getting the credit he deserves for these two key decisions. And these are big decisions in the postseason. So despite losing home field in the first round, they then go to D.C. and absolutely thrashed him. It was 4-0 before D.C. got the two late goals. D.C. was timid. Their confidence now, Montreal, has increased. And you've got an all-Montreal Eastern Conference final between them and Toronto FC. It's going to be unbelievable. They're going to play it at the Olympic Stadium. Sadly, it's going to be on an artificial surface, but it'll accommodate more fans. So the confidence increases for Montreal in the playoffs. Piatti is on fire as a playmaker, and they even get Drogba back in the second leg, where he comes off the bench. He becomes a good soldier now and helps to set up a goal. Evan Bush in goal, very timely. Tower power at the back in Lawrence Simon, and then a ton of very, very, veteran-laden guys. Great stories. The Bernadellos, the Moncosus, all guys that have experience. Piatti, all very big parts of this thing. The New York Red Bulls, on the other hand, shaking their heads again. They go out. It's a Caracola cursed. Top assist man in the league, Sasha Kljestan, with 20. BWP, 24 goals. They lead these categories. They didn't light it up in the playoffs. Six straight years after moving into Red Bull Arena, they've now lost home playoff matches. Jesse Marsh told me before the game that it comes down to singular big moments that have to be dealt with in a second season that is magnified. That's exactly what happened. Two time periods jump out to me. The first 15 minutes, they were all over Montreal in the first leg. Montreal was scattered. They failed to capitalize. If they do, it could have been an entirely different series. Montreal goalkeeper Evan Bush coming up big. Score first could have been different. And then in the second leg, a missed Sasha Kljestan penalty could have got things rolling for New York. So in the end, that's it. I love Jesse Marsh, though, after. Says, look, it's nothing we did wrong. Our performances weren't up to it. It's not about the tactics. And he stuck firm to his tactics, which, in the end, it just wasn't good enough. The bloody nose shot of Sasha Kljestan, is an enduring image. So there you have it. The last one, New York City FC against Toronto. TFC is absolutely exploded in the playoffs. 7-0 in aggregate, two late first goals in Toronto, blew the roof off of BMO Stadium, set the tone for the crushing 5-0 leg against New York City FC. Did Patrick Vieira do too much tinkering with his lineup? Did he overthink it? Did he overcoach it? That's a big part of the problem here, I think. You can get into the playoffs and you can begin to overthink it. How healthy was the New York City FC locker room? Sebastian Giovinco, yeah. Nobody was mentioning for the MVP. He wasn't put up for the MVP. The Atomic Flea, all he did was hit for a hat trick at Yankee Stadium. Still the single most impactful player in MLS. Playoff management, lineup tinkering, the biggest fall for New York City FC. All right, we're going to take a break here. Bud Light reminds you that they say the country is divided, that we disagree on everything. You know what? Join the Bud Light party with me. We like puppy videos. We love soccer, three-day weekends, free parking, margaritas, and we love beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light party and myself on Wednesday nights for the best in soccer talk. A reminder again, Unam Pumas, Cruz Azul on Sunday at BBVA Compass Stadium at 4 o'clock. Tickets at AXS.com, BBVA Compass Stadium box office, and also at La Michoacana and Taqueria Arandas. So get over there if you want to catch some Liga MX action. Liberty Kitchen reminds you that they are modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up a big level. Their big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples, some of my favorites, the Creole gumbo. You got to get the crab meat with that, the blue crab. Oysters on the half shell, cowboy surfers, po'boys, and the burger bowl. Signature cocktails and cold beer. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, brunch, stop by Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and Treehouse Memorial City. Richmond Arms, we thank you for your support of this show as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more 7-Up Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture Break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Everybody knows what is happening this Friday. It is huge. It's the United States against Mexico. It's World Cup qualifying, Columbus, Ohio. We are having a watch party, a Soccer Matters watch party, down at King's Court, down by the stadium. So head on down to King's Court. The first 25 are going to get a Soccer Matters mug. So we'll see you down there. A lot of people going to head down there for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great open place and tremendous pub food. Also some great Indian food there as well if you like it a little bit spicy. But there's going to be a good crowd down there. I look forward to seeing many of the listeners there. All right, so with that, we bring in a guy who knows the Mexican national team pretty much up and down. He is Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. He is in Columbus, Ohio. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Glenn. Yeah, just getting used to the cold and looking forward to the big game on Friday.
Well, it's not important if you get used to it. It's important if Mexico gets used to it. How much is this whole Dos Acero thing in the minds of the Mexican national team?
I mean, it is. It's there. There's no doubt about it. You know, everybody knows the record, lost four times, but Mexico played here. They've lost 2-0. And I think, you know, basically, more than anything else, the fact that the Mexico national team have brought Spanish sports psychologist Imanol Ibarrondo with the mayor to Columbus tells you everything you need to know. I mean, the idea of Juan Carlos Osorio, the coaching staff, and they talked about it last night in the first training session in Columbus, is that we have to change this mentality. We have to just put all everything that's happened with the 2-0s, the Dos Aceros behind them, and look at this as a new opportunity. Rafa Marquez talked today about, you know, how he said, I don't remember. He was asked, what about the other games? How, what you learned from them? He was like, I don't remember them. I mean, he said,
short memory,
completely,
huh?
A new slate.
I guess Rafa's got a short memory.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's had a really, really bad time here. So I mean, that's the message coming from Mexico. But
So Rafa said that he said that on purpose just to kind of accentuate the point that we have to forget what the past is. Easier said than done, because ultimately you have to execute, right?
Exactly, yeah, and that's the big thing for Mexico. And I think that, you know, not just what's gone on here, you know, from the mental point of view, but it's also what went on in the Copa America. I mean, this is a Mexico team, really, this is the first big game since that 7-0 loss to Chile. And I think since then, we've seen kind of the press in Mexico sharpening the knives. We've seen Mexico fans as well get on the back of Juan Carlos Osorio. But, and it's really important to stress, everything that's coming out of the camp and what the players have been saying is that they back Osorio. Obviously, it's easy to go to a mix zone, to go and talk to the journalists and say, you know, I like this coach. You have to prove it, obviously, on the pitch. And on Friday, I think that's what we're going to see. What have the players got? How much have they taken on board from Osorio? And can they change that history, not just of the 2-0, but of this of the 7-0? You know,
yeah.
What's the reaction going to be to that game?
Interesting. Friday, it's going to kick off all the 16 final round of CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. We're focusing here on Mexico and the United States and Columbus. ESPN FC's Tom Marshall with us. The top three teams will qualify in CONCACAF for Russia. Fourth place team will go on to a playoff. Mexico's never won in Columbus, Ohio, so we've already talked the Dos Acero thing. Let me just talk about Rafa Marquez. We all know he lends so much experience. The trade-off is, how do they hide his lack of mobility in Mexico's lineup?
I mean, yes, it's a big question.
That's the trade-off, right, Tom? That's the trade-off, right, for his experience.
Yeah, it is, definitely. You know, I think there was, you know, Jurgen Klinsmann, I think when he was talking about Jermaine Jones, you know, Jones obviously hasn't played that much recently. I think he was asked, why do you call him up, considering he's not been playing much recently? And Klinsmann said, you know, the United States isn't an Argentina, isn't a Brazil. And I think it's the same with Mexico. You know, obviously the question is that, why is Rafa Marquez at 37 years old still being called into this Mexican national team? Well, basically, there's not a whole lot else there, you know what I mean? Rafa's still the best at what he does that Mexico has. And obviously he brings all that experience. So, yeah, how are they going to do it? It wouldn't surprise me one bit, Glenn, if they play Rafa Marquez in a defensive midfield role.
Mm-hmm.
I think he played against the United States last time these two teams met in October in the CONCACAF Cup. He played in that position. Atlas, the most of this season, he's been playing a defensive holding midfield role with two physically strong and fast centre-backs kind of backing him up. It's almost like the quarterback you know, in American football, where they're protected by play, the other players protect him, and he's allowed to kind of get the ball, get time on the ball, and get the team playing. So I think that if Rafa Márquez starts, which I think he will be, I think that'll be the idea, playing in a central midfield role.
Yep, right people around him, limit the movement he's got to make. He's obviously locked into a triangle with the two center backs, so could work. But that's the trade-off. If you get caught a little bit overcommitted, there could be some opportunity for the United States. All right, so what are some of the other big issues for you around Mexico outside of, obviously, you know, responding from the Copa America and the 7-0 thrash and from Chile, not having ever won in Columbus? You know, like only Mexico can do. They can build this up beyond belief. And if Mexico does not have a good game in Columbus, this can snowball into further just controversy, right?
Definitely, and I think that the issues over Juan Carlos Osorio, I don't think there's a lot of support there from the Mexican press and stuff. So I think the pressure's, you know, very much on him in this game. I mean, to be fair to him, I think he's picked the best possible squad he could have done. You know, there were weaknesses there, maybe at the back defensively. But I think going forward, he's got a lot of options. So I think, you know, some of the choices he's going to have to make. Giovanni Dos Santos, obviously playing well with LA Galaxy. You know, what kind of role is he going to have? You know, a bit of a wild card was Carlos Vela, who I don't think people expected him to be called up. You know, Vela's coming off the game last weekend where, you know, he was the man of the match in a 2-0 victory for Real Sociedad over Atlético Madrid. You know, arguably one of the best teams in the world. I mean, Vela is a special player when he wants to be. So I'm just thinking this week, I think Osorio is going to take a long, hard look at Carlos Vela in training, and you know, just see is he in that right, you know, mental frame of mind? Because if he is, then it could be fascinating if Vela starts. You know, Marco Fabian's playing well over there in Germany as well, so I think he's got a strong chance. Hector Herrera isn't playing well, so you know, he might be out of the starting lineup for this game. But yeah, I think there's plenty of options for Osorio, and it's just a matter of him, you know, looking at the training this week and seeing, you know, what's the best setup to beat this US team. But I think one thing Osorio, I spoke to him last week, is really concerned about is the United States aerial game and what they can do from set pieces and in the air. So I think we're going to see as physical as possible starting 11 from Mexico just to try and counter that perceived threat from the States.
Interesting. The United States making him potentially change sort of the personnel of his lineup. Obviously, the likes of John Brooks, Omar Gonzalez, Jozy Altidore, aerial threats. All right, so give me your Mexico 11. What you think it will be, starting with the goalkeeper?
Well, it's a difficult one, because of the formation. But I'm going Alfredo Talavera in goal. Why? Because he's the best goalkeeper for coming out for crosses, and I think Osorio's adamant that that's, you know, really important. I think the centrals, I think it's going to be a 3-3-3-1, like Bielsa-style formation, because Mexico played that against Uruguay. They've got Talavera in goal, left centre-back Moreno, the central centre-back Diego Reyes, the right centre-back, I think it's going to be Néstor Araujo, Rafa Márquez in the holding midfield role, I think it's going to be Guardado, and there's the more attacking midfielder on the left-hand side. I think Herrera will get it on the right side. I think kind of in the tip of the kind of diamond formation there is going to be Marco Fabian. And then I think Raul Jimenez is going to play on one of the wings, again, because of his physical threat. I think on the other wing, Giovanni Dos Santos. And then up front, Chicharito. That's how I think it's going to, he's going to set up. But I mean, picking up Osorio's brain is not the easiest thing to do in the world.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Gio, based on current form, would get in the lineup. I think that's interesting, certainly for Major League Soccer fans here. What type of soccer do you think they play? Is it a cautious try to hit the U.S. on the counter? I mean, where does it go tactically for Mexico and Juan Carlos Osorio?
I think he's looking for balance. I mean, I don't think Mexico are ever under Osorio, and I don't think it's in Mexico's DNA. I don't think it's in these players' DNA when they come up from you know, Mexico youth system to sit back. I mean, you just see so few teams, even in the league, try and kind of sit back. So I think Mexico are going to, you know, take the game to the States as much as possible. Obviously, I think they're going to be wary of the counter-attack from the States. They're going to be wary of the aerial game. But I think in general, it's going to be trying to get the ball, keep the ball, you know, get the ball down the wing as much as possible and cause damage. I mean, I think that's why it's going to be a really good game. But I think the United States as well are almost obliged to go out and attack. Why? Because they're at home, they're in Columbus, the stadium, this mythical stadium for them. So I think Clemson has to send out his team to go out and attack Mexico. So for that reason, I think it's going to be a fascinating back and forth game.
I'm interested to see if the U.S. can get their outside backs into the attack, DeAndre Yedlin and Fabian Johnson. I'm thinking Pulisic's going to start, probably Bedoya, Altidore at the tip of the spear. With Clint Dempsey not available, who plays, behind Altidore, probably maybe Sasha Kljestan. Bradley and Jones probably as the holding midfielders. I think the big miss for me is Jeff Cameron, to be honest with you, because of his mobility and his ability to cover laterally, which will be important if the U.S. can get their two outside backs into the attack. Chicharito sitting on 45 goals. If he scores, he'll tie Jared Borghetti for the most in team history. So there's a little bit of a sideline there. Chicharito hasn't had the best of luck against the United States. He's only scored once against the U.S. in 5 career matches.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's struggled. But, I mean, I think I've just written a story about it. I spoke to Borghetti not long ago. And, Borghetti said recently, forget the record. I'd absolutely love it if Chicharito scored a goal and not just levelled the 46 goals, but scored the second as well, because, goals win games. And I think Borghetti would be celebrating as much as every other Mexico fan if Chicharito can get a couple of goals. And it would be the perfect time, the perfect place for Chicharito to level and go past Borghetti. No doubt about it, from a Mexico point of view, Glenn, at least.
Tom Marshall joining us, ESPN FC, up in Columbus, Ohio, for the United States and Mexico this Friday night. The breakdown of the Mexican roster, 13 players in Europe, 11 play in the Mexican League, 1 in Major League Soccer, that being Dos Santos. The U.S. roster, very similar, 13 in Europe, 10 in MLS, 3 in Mexico. Let me take you to Omar Gonzalez, since he left MLS, because he was struggling when he left MLS. Obviously won the title with Pachuca. How's Omar Gonzalez been this year for Pachuca, and is his game in a good place right now?
Yeah, I mean, Omar Gonzalez is, it's almost been like a dream going down Pachuca. I mean, there's not really much negative to say about it. I mean, he's just slotted in there. I think that he had a lot of competition, especially last season, for the starting place, but he's just come in there straight away. Diego Alonso, the manager, has given him the start. He's formed a really good centre-back partnership with Colombian Morillo. So, yeah, I mean, Gonzalez is playing in arguably the best team in Mexico right now, and he's playing well in it, and I don't think his place is under threat. You know, he's almost an automatic starter now. So, you know, Omar Gonzalez, the choice to move from Galaxy to Pachuca, I think it's gone down, I think it's done him a lot of good. I think he's improving as a player as well. I think he's improving kind of on the ball because, Pachuca play a style very much playing out the back and, it's possession-based football. So I think that Omar Gonzalez, if he does start, I think he's in a good place. I mean, he's on form, he's confident, he's a Liga MX champion. So, honestly, Glenn, there's nothing negative I can say about how Gonzalez has done in Mexico.
Tom, you care to predict?
I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I just think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I think Mexico is so adamant that they've got to change the story this time. I know it's been said before, but at the end of the day, Glenn, I don't think there's much between these two teams. I mean, I honestly don't. I think player for player, Mexico are probably better, but I think as a unit, the United States usually get it together. So I'm going to sit on the fence, 2-2 draw.
All right. That's okay, Tom. That's all right. That would be considered, in many ways, a win for Mexico since they've never gotten a positive result in Columbus, Ohio. As always, Tom, we appreciate your great insight. We thank you very much. Enjoy the game in Columbus, and we look forward to maybe having you on after to kind of break it down.
Definitely, Glenn. Appreciate it, and thanks for the invite.
All right. He's the one and only Tom Marshall. ESPN FC brings us so much good information about the Mexican League. As we go to break here, a quick word here for Liberty Kitchen.
You know I'm passionate about great food and my friends at Liberty Kitchen. Now think of it as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. It's farm stand crisp food at Liberty Kitchen, and they stamp it. It's their own. Staples, deviled eggs with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo, oyster on the half shell. Yeah, I'm getting hungry right now. Cowboy surfers, po' boys, and the infamous burger bowl. Signature cocktails, cold beer, Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, brunch. Stop by Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and Treehouse Memorial City. Richmond Arms, Houston's premier soccer club, Kingshead, and Richmond Arms are designed and built with soccer in mind for your superior watching entertainment. So it's time to get out to the Richmond Arms, the Kingshead Pub. Come watch your favorite club this upcoming season. Check it out, richmondarmsonline.com. We'll take a 7-Up break. We'll take a Bud Light break. And we will be back with more of the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Right down, put it on the radio.